Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What a week. What a gospel. Today's gospel contains the two commandments that are the key to eternal life, plus the story of a Samaritan who is good. Oh, we need life this week, and we need goodness. Let us see where we will find them. The lawyer stood up to ask Jesus a question. Very appropriate. By standing, he showed honor to Jesus. He also showed honor by calling Jesus teacher. But his motive was not so honorable. The lawyer wanted to test Jesus, to catch him in a wrong interpretation of God's law. Jesus answered the lawyer's question about what he must do to inherit eternal life by asking the lawyer a question. Jesus wondered what was the lawyer's considered opinion. What law do you read that would lead to inheriting eternal life? And the lawyer answered as many would have in Jesus' time. Love God with your whole being, from Deuteronomy, and love your neighbor as yourself, from Leviticus. Good answer, Jesus says. Do it. But the lawyer wasn't done. Who is my neighbor? He asked. To whom precisely does the law require me to show love? Most of the Jewish scriptures would indicate that the neighbor was another Jew. Some lawyers of the time would argue that the word neighbor would include strangers who were refugees or those who came to Israel with a positive intent. But others would make the point that neighbor included only Jews who kept the commandments, who were righteous according to the law. Those Jews would argue that the law required you to refuse to do good to those who were ungodly. They were not neighbor. And of course, Gentiles, non-Jews, in general, were not regarded as neighbor. But worse than ordinary Gentiles, who were not familiar with the laws of the Torah, were the Samaritans. For the Samaritans at one time had been Jews. Then, probably after many of the Israelites were forced into exile to Babylon, differences emerged between the Samaritans, who claimed descent from Joseph, and the others who had gone to Babylon in exile. The Samaritans believed the holy mountain of God was Gerizim in Sumerian territory, not Zion in Jerusalem. Also, the Samaritans only regarded the Torah as scripture, the first five books. They rejected all of the other writings, the writings that had anything to do with King David, the histories, the prophets, the Psalms, and the other wisdom writings. The Jews despised the Samaritans, as you can only despise someone who used to be on your side but wasn't anymore. That was probably why in our gospel, a couple of Sundays ago, James and John were so eager to ask God to rain down destruction on that Samaritan town that didn't welcome Jesus. And frankly, the Samaritans felt the same way about the Jews. Disgust. When the lawyer asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" he probably expected a list of eligible Jews with maybe a few highly qualified Gentiles. And then he could get into a real argument with Jesus. Again, though, Jesus answered the lawyer's question with another question. But first, Jesus told a story. It was a common enough story about a mugging on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and its aftermath. That road was a long road with a long history of robbers and danger. Robbery is what happened to a traveler in Jesus' story. Stripped of his clothes, robbed, beaten, left unconscious. No clothes, so no one else traveling by could tell where he was from. Was he from a part of Israel or Samaria or some other place? He was unconscious, so no one could hear his words or his accent and tell where he was from that. No one could figure out if he was their neighbor. A Jewish priest went by, probably on his animal. It was a long road, and the priest was of very high status. He couldn't figure out if the man was his neighbor, so he avoided him. The Levite, a lower status religious official, took a closer look, but then veered away also. And then came who? The Samaritan. The Samaritan did what the other two did not do. The priest saw the robbed man. The Levite saw him and came to him. The Samaritan saw him, came to him, and felt a great feeling deep inside of him, a feeling of pity. Perhaps the Samaritan, too, at one time had been a victim of a crime. Whatever, the Samaritan had such deep feeling for the injured individual that the Samaritan, at much risk to his own life for stopping to help and to his own property, restored the traveler who had been mugged. He treated the wounds. He placed the man on his own animal, taking him to an inn, to civilization, and cared for him there. After restoring the man's health and safety, the Samaritan even restored his money, leaving extra with the innkeeper and promising more if needed. It was after this story that Jesus asked the lawyer a second question. In response to the lawyer's question of who was his neighbor, Jesus asked, which of the three travelers on the road was neighbor to the man who had been mugged? Not was the unidentifiable man neighbor, but who was neighbor to the unidentifiable man? And the lawyer was forced to admit, yes, but look at verse 37. Notice at that verse, the lawyer could not even choke out the word, as you did, Samaritan. It was so disgusting to him, so repugnant, that the Samaritan would be a hero of a story, that a Samaritan would be a hero of this story. So he said, the one who showed him mercy. That was the one who asked, who acted as neighbor. It was the despised one who allowed his deep feeling of compassion to overcome all practical considerations and to sacrifice much for his fellow human being. He treated the mugged man as someone he truly loved. Even though Samaritans do not love Jews, not at all. Who are we neighbor to? For whom do we feel such deep compassion, such deep love, that we will use our own time and money and energy to make their lives better? I think of those of you wearing the blue shirts this morning who will be spending your time and energy and money too, helping people in Kentucky, fixing their homes, giving of yourselves. And of course, after all of the horrible deaths of this week, I cannot help but hope that our national compassion will be for our dark-skinned neighbors. I pray that we will overcome our culture-taught fear of people with dark skin, especially young males with dark skin. It will not be easy to get rid of such racial fears. It will not be easy to assume dignity when we have been taught to fear gangsta. As it would not have been easy for the Samaritan, after the unconscious man came to his senses and realized that it was a Samaritan who had touched him. Sisters and brothers in Christ, if we do such hard work of repenting of our racism, of seeking to understand the real griefs of those who look different than most of us do, what then? Well, I tell you, as a called and ordained minister in the Church of Christ, that the doing of such hard work will not earn you eternal life. Eternal life is already promised to us and to all sinners. But repenting of our racism and seeking to love those whose lives are so hard because of the racism in our society will make this life more full of the grace that passes human understanding. Our showing love, our being neighbor, especially to those different, those too often despised, that will be the sign of God's kingdom among us, God's grace known in abundance. That is what God longs for us to experience, not just in the sweet by and by, but now in this life. Amen, Lord Jesus, let it be so. Amen.